I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this matter of sin. What is sin? In Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, we read these words, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So we see the law of God reveals to us what the knowledge of sin is. The law of God makes that clear. So what is the law of God? Well, let's go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Then number 3, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Oh, beloved, we need to be careful about using God's name in a light and flippant manner, even as exclamation. It dishonors God. Then the fourth commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." The Lord made the Sabbath especially for the nation of Israel. The Word of God tells us that it was to be a sign between God and Israel, that they were His chosen people above all people on earth. And so we see the first four commandments have to do with man's relationship to God. The last six have to do with man's relationship to man. Verse number 12 is commandment number 5, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Number 6, thou shalt not kill or commit murder. That's what he's referring to, is murdering someone. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery, referring to sexual sin of any kind. Number 15, thou shalt not steal, taking that which belongs to someone else. Verse 16 is number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This has to do with lying, beloved. Lying is sin. And then verse 17 is number 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. That is the 10th commandment. Thus we see the 10th commandment has to do with covetousness. And over in the book of Romans, chapter 7 and verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. The law of God reveals what sin is. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And so we see where lust comes from. Lust has to do with covetousness. We're living in the now generation, the generation that wants what it wants now. This results in doing what is necessary to obtain what it wants. Debt is called loans, credit, borrowing, so forth. This is the reason our nation is in financial trouble and owes other countries so much. Credit cards have resulted in people being slaves to debt. Loans to get what I want now have placed many in bondage. All this is a result of covetousness, lusting after things. And, beloved, I have to admit, I've fallen into that snare myself and learned the lesson the hard way of owing and being in debt and being under the control of the ones to whom I was indebted to. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 13, there we read in Romans 13, verse 8 through 10, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. Did you hear that, beloved? He that loveth hath fulfilled the law. That's the one thing we are to owe to people, is love. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Did you hear that, beloved? Love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, sexual lust is another manifestation of covetousness. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 28, we read these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Did you hear that, beloved? To look on a woman, to lust after her, is to commit adultery with her in one's heart. This is covetousness, or lust, which is desiring to have and use the woman for selfish gratification. This is why pornography has become a multi-billion-dollar industry causing great harm to the family. King Solomon warned of sexual covetousness and lust in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 5, and beginning with verse 3, he says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." That is, she can say things that appeal to a man's ego and will draw him toward her. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way from her. Come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. Strangers filled with thy wealth. We're talking about pornography, beloved. And thy labors be in the house of a stranger. He goes on to talk about this involvement with the adulteress and how it is destructive and will destroy a man as he continues to walk after her. And verse 21 notes, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin." What's he talking about? He's talking about addiction. He's talking about a man being put into bondage and into slavery. And, beloved, that's exactly what pornography does. It brings a man into bondage, it brings him into slavery, and it is destructive, beloved. It is destructive. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 35 also goes right along with that. "My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, tie them about thy neck. Because," he said, verse 24, "to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." You can go ahead and read the rest of it yourself. But, beloved, it is destructive. Pornography is destructive and results in many problems. And in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11, we read the results of promiscuity and sexual involvement with another stranger. "And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed with disease." It is destructive and results in many sexual diseases that plague our nation today, playing around with sex. Dr. James Dobson has said on Focus on the Family that the man that gets snared in pornography will lead to infidelity. That is, it will lead to a man breaking his marriage vows and committing fornication or adultery with another woman or with a stranger. Oh, beloved, it is an insidious thing, and it has to do with covetousness. It has to do with that 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not covet." And so it's a destructive disease, a destructive plague that is plaguing our nation today, and we see so many have fallen under its control. Remember, beloved, love, true love, can wait to give, but lust cannot wait to get. Remember that. Love can wait to give, but lust cannot wait to get. Love is giving, but lust is taking. Remember that, my friend. Lust is taking. Love thinks about what is best for the one who is loved. That's true love. Love is sacrificial and thinks about the other. But lust thinks only about its own selfish desires and satisfaction. Lust is selfish and self-centered. Thus, as men become enslaved to sexual lust, women become objects to be used, and men even lay the blame of their bondage on women, which may result in their killing prostitutes. And there are prostitutes that have died because of men who have been enslaved to lust and have even killed those who have drawn them into sin and into yielding to their lustful desires. Oh, beloved, remember, lust is never satisfied. The more one yields to lust, the more they become enslaved to it and desire more. Lust is no respecter of persons. It will ravage a sinner or a saint. Remember what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Yes, beloved, even a child of God can become a slave of sin after they've been liberated and set free. They can fall back into that snare of sin and fall back into that trap of sin. Oh, beloved, listen, it's a terrible thing to fall into, and only Jesus Christ can set you free. In John chapter 8 and verse 34, we read these words. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Beloved, it will bring you into bondage. Sin will bring you into bondage. Beware of it. Do not yield to deceitful lusts. So the whole solution to fulfilling and obeying the law is love, God's agape love. Romans 13:8, "For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." The power of God's agape love, which is a choice accomplished under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells every believer. As we know in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, every believer's body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. In John chapter 15, we're told that Christ is the vine, and believers are the branches, and we produce fruit to the Lord Jesus as we yield to the vine and draw upon our strength from Jesus Christ. Christ is the vine, we believers are the branches. We can only produce fruit by abiding in the vine. The Holy Spirit's fruit, which is produced in the believer by abiding in Christ, is seen in Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Oh yes, beloved, the fruit of the Spirit can deliver you if you're ensnared in pornography. It can liberate you. It can set you free. If you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, if you'll get into the Word of God. Notice the first fruit, that first part of the fruit of the Spirit is love. Verse 22 of Galatians 5. Love. That's the fruit. The first part of the fruit. This love is agape love, which 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8 explains. It's not necessarily an emotion, but an act of the will, beloved. It's a choice that only the believer can make through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And we're told here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 what love is. And I want to just briefly remind you of it. As he says here in verse 4, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. That's God's agape love, beloved, that can be produced in the life of the believer only through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so, beloved, greater is he that is in us. We read in 1 John chapter 4, the Holy Spirit of God indwells the child of God. The latter part of verse 4 of 1 John 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, we can overcome. And 1 John 4, 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, God is love. Let the Lord possess you, empower you, indwell you, infill you. As Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Confess your sin to Him. Acknowledge the bondage that you're in. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to deliver and liberate and set you free. He will do it, beloved. He'll set you free. He'll liberate you. And you can have victory over pornography. You can have victory over lust. You can have victory over covetousness. You can walk as more than a conqueror, as Romans chapter 8 points out. More than a conqueror through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Yes, beloved, greater is the Holy Spirit of God who indwells the believer than this old body, this flesh with indwelling sin. Romans chapter 7 makes it clear that in this body there dwells no good thing. That's why someday we're going to be delivered from this body into the glorious presence of Jesus Christ, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But today, beloved, we can walk in victory through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You can turn from your sin. You can be liberated from the control and the habit and the addiction to lust.